Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
So, I left politics for a time in 2000 and went off and did some social enterprise work, some social investment work, which is, people know, social enterprises, it's a way of solving social problems for trading. But last year, I had one of those sort of light bulb moments. In that I've been involved, not only with Charter 88, but with a lot of campaigns, a lot of political campaigns on environment and land and tax and electoral reform and so on. And there must be thousands in this country, local and national and regional, thousands and thousands and thousands. Small campaigns, big ones, medium ones, they come, they go. And the light bulb moment was this, that not one, all of those campaigns, and including Charter 88, my experience, they all set out a list of demands, or a list of, or a vision of how life can be in their area, whatever their area is, whether it's land reform, or environmental issues, or health issues, or education, whatever. And they always, without exception, in my experience, rely upon the system to implement. In other words, it's a lobbying exercise. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, without exception. I don't know any exceptions to that. And when I start addressing campaign groups, I do now, so there's one on citizens' income, for example, which has been going for 30 years, right? I say, and the Green Party have now adopted citizens' income, I say, what have you achieved?
Nothing.
What are you going to achieve? Because the system will never, ever implement it,
yes.
Right? And this sounds like a message of despair,
yeah.
Right? That's what it sounds like, okay? But it's not. Mm. So, the light bulb moment is, there's only one way to do this, mm-hmm. and that is not to lay out your stall, this is how it should be, will you please, Mr. Government, Mr. Cameron, Mr. Miliband, whoever you are, please do this. No. Right, that's not the way. The way is to use the system, i.e. we have a parliamentary, quote, democracy, right? People vote, 1, 3, 5 years, whatever it is. Use it, put candidates up, become the system, not a, right? Once you become the system, in other words, you put candidates up and you win, you change the system. So our motto, our strapline is use the system, i.e. stand, become the system, i.e. win, change the system, and bring all these campaign groups that have been around for donkey's years together, right, in one grand agenda and say, not all will be relevant, but they could actually work together, which they don't.
Yeah.
Campaign groups do never work together. They never talk to each other. But if you have a constitutional parliament, you've won, you can bring these groups together and say, we are going to write a constitution and we have a constitutional parliament. Okay. So that was the light bulb one. Use the system, become it, change it. So how do you avoid the corruption issue? I don't know how many people heard Russell Brand on Question Time.
Yeah.
He was challenged. Instead of moaning, why don't you stand as an MP, right?
Yeah.
What did Russell Brand say? I'm afraid I'll get corrupted like the rest of you. He didn't trust himself. Right? Now that's the state we've got to. It's pretty appalling for somebody to say that. He doesn't trust himself.
But he's got a big ego, hasn't he?
Pardon?
He's got a big ego.
Yeah, but he doesn't trust himself.
Yeah.
He'd become an MP and he'd become like them.
Yeah.
Okay? So how do you avoid that problem? Okay? So what I'm telling, the story I'm telling you now is the journey I've gone through.
Yeah.
Right? That's the story I'm telling you. Okay? I started this by writing a charter, and you'll have that at the end. It's a rewrite of the Charter of 88, okay? And I call it a people's Magna Carta for the 21st century. It's a people's Magna Carta. Not a baron's Magna Carta. Not a neoliberal Magna Carta. Not a banker's. Right, it's a people's Magna Carta. Okay. So I started by writing that, saying, well, what's, you know, basically what I did was put all the different campaign groups that are around, and put it into a coherent story, right, on which you could base a current constitution. But no, this is where I started. Well, you know, how am I going to solve the problem of identified? I said, well, I'll register a party. Okay, so in November last year, we had a title, 2015 Constitutionalists. Right, 2015 because 800 years of Magna Carta, Constitutionists because we're about written constitutions, and it took 4 months to go through the bureaucracy. But nevertheless, we are now a formal political party in the UK. You go on the Electoral Commission's register, you'll see who we are, what our own constitution is, what our goals are, and so on and so forth. And what was really fortuitous was that I got a letter from the Electoral Commission that we're officially approved as a political party on November the 5th. But I thought that was very appropriate. I did that. Okay, I've got a party. But I don't want to build an organisation like the Tories, like the Labours, like the Greens even, with all the problems that that brings to all the huge bureaucratic issues of funding, sponsorship, selection committees, rows, and keeping a disparate agenda together, because all the parties are not one thing. They all represent a range of views, right? Tory and Labour and Greens, right? They're all, and Liberal, Lib Dems, you know, there's all left, right, it's all a spectrum, okay? No way do I want to get involved in that. The notion was formed that to avoid the potential corruption problem, if you're going to put candidates up for election, they must be independent. They must be. And they can stand under our banner as if just like a Tory or Labour or Lib Dems, but of course to be a Tory candidate or a Labour candidate, you have to go through select committees. It's competitive, you go through the bureaucracy and the politics, and it's a nightmare. Okay. In our case, people can be self-selecting. Anybody can stand in the constituency. Can I get a glass of water, Robert? Yes, yeah. To be a candidate in a general election is the easiest thing in the world, and people don't realise it. £500, a sponsor, a seconder, and 10 people from the electoral register. You're a candidate. Now, £500 is a lot of money for some people, but in fact, it's not a lot in the scale of what we're talking about. Yeah. So I said, okay, we will say to people, we will start, when we start campaigning, we want people, thank you very much, we want people to vote, to self-select in all constituencies, and I'm going to talk about England only for a minute, and I'll come to the particular issue. There's 533 constituencies in England. We've started talking and promoting this idea. We want people just to stand as independent candidates, self-funding, self-selecting, do what I said, you pay your money to the local council, right, looking after your constituency, you find a sponsor and seconder people on your local election register, and you can use our name. You're a 2015 constitutionalist candidate. No contract with us, no relationship with us, no selection committee. The fact that you're going to use the name means you believe in democracy and a written constitution. That's what the name is telling the electorate.
Okay.
And you'll see they have a charter on which the constitution should be based and so on. So this was the first attempt to avoid a big organisation, avoid money that plays a part, avoid the corruption that Russell Brand talked about. And here's the really nice thing that I learned. It wasn't designed, it was just by accident. And this applies to any it applies to anybody, but the parties, all the other parties won't do it. In any constituency, multiple candidates can stand under the same banner. Right? So what's the constituency here in Shoreham?
I think Shoreham East Worthing.
What we say is people self-select. You know, you want to be a candidate, be a candidate. Okay? You want to be a candidate, be a candidate. If you get three or four people standing, self-selecting, and it says you're a 2015 constitutionalist, there is a charter. The electorate choose the best person for the job. Not a selection committee, not an organisation, not a bureaucracy, not a leader, because the leaders, people don't realise this, the Camerons and the Milibands and so on, they play a hand in who gets selected in particular constituencies. Okay? There's a lot of shenanigans that go on, right, to get the people. So in this case, in our case, the electorate decide, not us. And people say, yeah, but you're splitting the vote. You know, you've got Tory, Labour, Greens, Bunth, and three or four constitution candidates. You know, you're splitting the vote. Yes, you are. You can't win everything. But you've got to gradually get the message across that we're about democracy, not about power, not about winning power for its own sake, right? And this is the way to do it. And when people get the message, I say, oh, okay, right? We'll maybe, like almost like a primary, we'll see which is the best candidate for a democracy candidate, for a constitutional candidate. Now, so, clearly the Tories and the Labours and the Lib Dems would never do that. Why would you put three Tories up? I'm sure you wouldn't, right? Selection committees and so on. So, this, first of all, makes it very distinct. But imagine, right, just imagine, right, that we had candidates in 533 English constituencies. I'm going to come to Scotland and Wales and all that in a minute. Okay. and we won. Use the system, become the system. Become the system means win. Say you've got 326 candidates who won. The one thing you can say about this country, the only thing you can say about this country, is Parliament is sovereign. That's the only thing you can say. Parliament can do anything it likes. Anything. There used to be a balance, historically, 200 years, there used to be a balance between the monarch, House of Lords, and Parliament. It used to be a three-way thing. Not anymore. Over time, the House of Lords' powers was reduced, so now it's minimal. It can delay a bill, that's it. The monarch is just a formality. So it's what, I don't know if people remember Lord Hailsham, who used to be a Tory minister and peer. he was quite honest for once. He said, this is an elective dictatorship. In other words, you elect a parliament, a government, it can do anything. So, what we're saying is, okay, let's do it. Let's put candidates up, self-select, independent. Over time, we get to a point we win. You win, and then you must have a process of how you're going to follow that through. Right? And it's in the manifesto, and we'll get a copy of this, but it's very, very, very simple idea. Okay, and I like simplicity. You win, you can do anything, You abolish the House of Lords, trust them. No legislation, get rid of it. Because you're independent constitutionalists, you form a constitutional parliament. Your role is not to be a government. Your role is to protect, is to write and protect a constitution. That's your role. You become, the constitutional parliament becomes the upper house, which is why you need to get rid of the House of Lords. It's a democratic upper house. Having got rid of the House of Lords, you hold another general election for a government, for a House of Commons, the normal House of Commons. Right? So you've still got a bicameral system, you've still got two chambers, but your upper chamber is now democratic. It's elected, and it's got a job. Its job is to protect democracy, write a constitution, protect the constitution. The House of Commons, that's elected quite separately, on the basis you see now, it's Labour, Tory, whatever, is accountable to the upper house, is accountable to the written constitution, is accountable to the constitutional parliament. A complete reversal of what you have now. A complete and utter reversal. Okay? And then you then have two parliaments. One, they're both democratic, they're both elected, but one, it's not the job of government, it's the job of the constitution, the other's government, one's accountable to the other. Okay. And then you've got the process of writing the constitution and developing. That's the simple idea. Okay. Very simple. Now people then say to me, well, you know, and there is, by the way, as an aside, there are local councils in this country that have been elected on the way in which I've just described. There's one in Frome, in Somerset. It's called Flat Pack Democracy. They got fed up with the local council, all the usual shenanigans, you can't trust the politicians. So a group of independent people got together in a pub, had enough of this. So they stood in elections, right? And they won. In Frome, the council is now run by a group of citizens, right? They put themselves up for election, re-election. The first thing they did when they got into power was get rid of 90% of the committees. They weren't necessary, the local authority. They were just bureaucracy, right? They've only been in power a year, right? And I'm watching it carefully. But they did it locally. It's happened a little bit in Chester somewhere, but I've not tracked that one down. So this is not, again, not a new idea at all. Right, so come back to the basic problem. People said, okay, they're independent, people don't know each other, you've got all these independent candidates, but they will start forming groups and coalitions. People are like that, right? Make friends, and you know. And suddenly, before you know who you are, you're independent. Yeah, but we're a group called X, and you're a group called Y, and suddenly the whole thing, right, reinvents party politics. Right, that's the claim, right? Oh well, yeah, there's a danger of that. You can't disregard that. So. Over the rest of this year, as we've been developing this idea, it occurred to me that in order to avoid all these problems of a party and so on and so forth, that there has to be something alongside this process I've just described. Okay? The process of party, albeit with its innovations and independence and so on, it's still a party, it's still electing MPs, it's still that stuff, it's still dangers, right, of corruption and so on and so forth. So there has to be something, a check, to keep this, okay? The only check is the people. The only check. There's no other check. And electing, even a constitutional parliament for 5 years, is not sufficient. So, the programme at the moment is twofold. One, as I've described it, and We were going to put candidates up in May, but it's a bit too soon for us. We only were approved in November, so early days. We had about half a dozen just to try out, but we decided not to, because it's going to be such a mess in May. We'd get lost in the noise, you wouldn't hear anything, and so we said, forget it, not necessary. Okay. How do you create a movement in parallel with using the system to create the system, change it, as I said? How do you do that? And that's a big issue for us, and I don't have the answer for that. So, when I address groups like this, I say, I can describe the easy bit, right? So you can stand as a candidate, go and do it. How? You've got 500 quid, raise 500 quid, do some crowdfunding, hold a meeting in your front room, raise 500 quid, become a candidate, why not? A few people around the country are independents, but not independents under a banner, not independents under a programme of democratic reform. Okay? So what I'm saying to people is, stand as a candidate, you become an independent, don't use the banner, just be an independent, people do that. But if you buy this programme, you can use this banner. Okay. That bit's easy, relatively easy. Okay, so I leave a meeting and last time I had one, an 18-year-old student came up, said, I'd like to stand. 18-year-old student. Right, terrific. Right. So it does resonate, right? And I can see this happening. When we get to a critical mass, by the way, I'm going to stand as an independent candidate in Runnymede, where the Magna Carta was signed, as a symbol. It happens to have a 30,000 Tory majority, but, you know, what the hell? What the heck, you know? So that's the relatively easy bit. The difficult bit is, how do you get people engaged in this and understanding and voting? Understanding and voting and taking action, okay? And here is the really tricky bit. In the manifesto and constitution, charter rather, we talk about people participating in writing the constitution, in writing the law. So through people are familiar with the referendum, and all the talk now is a European referendum and a vote on that, and we have one in 1975, was it? I can't remember. They don't happen very often, and they're usually a farce because you never get the right information, there's too much propaganda, you can't see your way through the mess, you know. And so there is another process which is called deliberative referendum, where you take your time, and there's a process, constitution guaranteed, to make sure the information is out there, is impartial, people can judge what the issues are. And in my particular book, the BBC would have a special role in this. BBC is a very critical part of our constitution, people don't realise that. It's a very important and critical part. It's lost its way sometimes, but nevertheless, it's a critical part. So a deliberative referendum is to make sure people are informed, they can make a judgment and they can vote. So in the writing of a new constitution, a writing of a new democracy, we want people to take part through deliberative referenda. So what I'm saying is that people have got to participate in this. So two arms, a party, right? We're registered, authorised, albeit with an innovative way of doing things, but a movement. Okay. I've got a party and I've got a name. Don't actually have a name for a movement. All right. I'm looking for one at the moment. Movement such as the suffragettes, the Chartists, the Levellers, the Co-operators. Over history, right, there's been lots of movements. Right. We're looking for a name for this new democracy. Don't know what that is yet. The first attempt we made is to, One London constituency, called it's Holborn and St Pancras. is to run what we call demo cafes. There's been lots of cafes attempted, rather. People aware of Café Philosophique? Café Scientifique? No? Café Society? I mean, there's lots of stuff that's been around. All it is people like this, in a room, right, talking about something, okay? No hierarchies, no power, people come together, talk. Community, talk. What's the issue? Right? Learn from each other, okay? Demo cafe, because demo means democracy. It also means demonstration. So in the process of holding a cafe, you're demonstrating democracy. Okay? So that's the name we've given it. Now, it's not a name for a movement, because that doesn't work. But it's a mechanism, okay? And I've got the guy that runs the, who runs it, he doesn't run, he's a sort of coordinator, he's an artist. So he comes out with this, they run around Camden with these bags. Right, this is the logo, they've got Demo Cafe, okay? And it's run in a music venue in Camden. Ska music, you know, into ska music, anybody? and sometimes it's run once a week. The owner of the venue buys into this, says it's a good idea. People come, sometimes 6, sometimes 20, sometimes 30, sometimes 2. Right? And they just talk about what they think the issues are in Camden locally. This is not the 2015 Constitutionalist Party doing this. At all, okay? It's a group of people that buy into the notion that people have got to actively participate and become citizens. In Camden, what we're hoping in this general election up to May the 7th is that they'll get enough people in Camden to invite the candidates standing this time to come and talk to them and challenge them about whatever the issues are, the NHS and immigration and the economy and whatever's been talked about. And we're hoping the candidates will come because they're not used, the candidates are not used to talking to a group of people with no association. They're just people. They don't belong to the Labour Party, they don't belong to the Women's Institute, they don't belong to this, that or the other. Right? They're citizens. Independent citizens. The idea is the candidates come. And instead of candidates talking down, talking at, right, the people are going to say, we've talked about the NHS in Camden, do you know that, and what are you going to do about it? And we want to put the candidates on the spot. Okay? So this is just an experiment in a movement, in the other arm, of getting people off their bums, right, and taking part in politics. Not going along to some hustings organised by the church or whatever, okay, but themselves taking control, understanding from their perspective, their experience, what the issue is, and getting the politicians to account. So, that's where we've got to, right, in this renewal. Renewal's the wrong word, we've never had democracy. So again, I'm stuck for language, okay? In the creation of democracy. That's a better way to express it. That's where we've got to. In terms of the first bit of using the system, become the system to win, I said we have no candidates at this time. I don't have a website up yet, by the way, because it's been quite difficult to put all this down, and I didn't want to get lost in the thousands and thousands of websites, right? It's got to be done properly. So the website is just, all it says at the moment is in development, the usual stuff, okay? I want to get this website right. My view is that there'll be another general election in October. That's my view. I think this is so horrendous, what's going on. You can see it every day. Nobody has a clue what they're doing. Yeah. Not a clue. Right, The thing that's really, how many saw the leaders debate last week? Not many.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting. Three or four. It was appalling. It was absolutely appalling.
Well, they've all got no pulse, haven't they?
Yeah. No. But anyway, they just don't know. They just have not a clue. A, they don't. They're not good at their jobs anyway.
Yeah.
None of them could run an economy or a country or a foreign. None of them could. But they can't even, in their own terms, they can't even be decent politicians. They're completely thrown by the SNP, right? Yeah. By the Welsh, Northern Ireland, thrown by the Greens. And I think Scotland is the one that's really, really, and of course, chaos.
Yeah.
Complete, utter chaos.
Yeah.
I don't think a stable government will come out in May at all.
Yeah, it's going to be very, like you say.
Yeah. It's just, there'll be, there's an illustration of how bad our system is. Nobody knows. The fear at the moment is that, let's say David Cameron wins the biggest number of seats, not majority, biggest number. Labour Party have taken legal advice because they think he's just going to sit him down the street and nobody can turf him out. There's no written constitution. Nobody knows. Right? The cabinet secretary is currently writing the rules as we speak. Right? What? It's going to be mayhem. It could go on for months.
Yeah.
Right? The argy bargy. Mm. Well, you know the story. You can see it in the paper. Interestingly, in Belgium, which has a similar structure to the UK, in that you have two, there they've got two nations, not four, we've got four nations. They actually did without government for 18 months, because there was no hung parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be a mess.
Well, I think people are waking up to the fact that they're all crap, and crap.
Yeah. So my view is that this will bang on, and various splits will happen. The far right, the Tories, will go and do their thing. The civilised Tories, that they call them. Far left and go out. And it will just be horrendous. So I think there will be another election. And there will be some regrouping of some sort. I couldn't tell what it is going to be. And what, in our heads, what we're thinking of, is that's when we start putting candidates up.
Yes, because
at that point,
yes,
because we have illustrated
yeah.
the problem,
and they've all had their day, and they've done absolute nothing.
Yeah, so
they should all go.
Yeah, so basically, what it means is that we've got to get this story out across the country, across England, across to the Four Nations minute. Talk to people, leave them with stuff, think about this, talk about your friends, and when the next generation comes, people, I'm not running a party, people just put themselves up. That's what we want. I want to go and spread and talk around the country that you, the people, can do this.
Yeah.
You can, not us,
yeah.
You, the people, can do it.
You've got to realise they've got the power.
They have the power.
Yes, that's right. They've just got to know
it. They've got to know it. Right. So our job is a communication job, which is why our website is so important. Basically, I hate websites. Right? I mean, they're awful. Right? They're busy. They're cluttered. They don't convey information properly. The notion we're going to go for is a combined technology. We're going to combine podcasts. With websites, with internet publishing, combine these three technologies and try and come up with something that's really sustainable. That's why we don't have one yet. But we've got to have one fairly soon, certainly by May, because when the chaos starts, the way in which we're going to communicate is by this, but website, social media, and so on. Okay. So that's the goal. To do that. Let me say one more thing, I'm talking to people. Okay. few more minutes. If anybody got any ideas, by the way, on a word for a movement, I'd be really, really grateful. Right? It's got to be a single word like suffragettes and levellers. Something. I don't know what it is. I can't imagine what it is. Democrats, boring, right? It's got to be something else. Anyway. Right. I'm going to leave with you. I'm going to talk about three documents. One is a prototype. It's a leaflet. Okay. We don't have a leaflet just to hand out to people in the streets. Okay. We've argued the toss about it. It's a prototype. Okay. So I'll give you that. We have a manifesto that describes what I've said. Okay. 6-page manifesto. So we're sort of launching out this month along with all the other party manifestos. Now, I haven't seen any yet. Most voters don't even see a manifesto, right? I usually don't read the bloody thing. But I think the Greens have launched. Anybody know?
Yeah,
have they?
Yeah.
Have you read it?
No.
You know, I understand the Labour Party manifesto is appalling. The website's appalling, apparently. I haven't looked at it. Anyway, so we have a manifesto, okay? And we have the People's Charter, the new Magna Carta, okay? And this, you read it as all these campaigns that you all know about over decades and decades coming together as one coherent document. This is the guideline. If you get a constitutional parliament whose job is to write a constitution, this is the guideline. Once they're elected, they're in charge. They could ignore it. Right. But the thought is, you get this out, the people are aware of it, the people are going to take part in this, right? It's so essential that you get active citizenship to control, to keep in check, right, these tendencies to power. Okay? So those are three documents that you can take away with you. And talk about when the next election comes after May, right? I'd like to see Shoreham half dozen candidates with them, right? They're standing, right? So that would be interesting. I'd like to see some demo cafes running, right? Brighton's a great city for doing that, right? There's no, on the website, we're going to hopefully have some models. This is how you might do it. This is how you might crowdfund for it. I don't know. And it's not necessary. Right, people get the basic idea, they just do it. Right, one important thing that I will finish with on why I think this will work. The thing that's called, one of the things, there are lots, but one of the things that's causing mayhem is Scotland. Now, I was in Scotland a bit before the referendum. And it's just astonishing. The people up there are engaged in the way I've tried to describe. For, I was told, 2 or 3 months before, every town in Scotland, every evening, there were meetings, debates, church halls, pubs, and so on. Apparently the people are motivated. They're engaged, they're energised. Admittedly, the Referendum Act was signed in 2012. Cameron didn't know what he was doing. He didn't have a clue. He signed a contract without a salmon. Right? He didn't have a clue what he was doing. He thought, we'll make it yes or no because it's just, it'll go away. Yeah. Right? It's like everything he touches.
Yeah.
Everything he touches is just a nightmare. Anyway, so Alex Salmond, who's the cleverest politician in my view, in the UK, by a long way, nearly won the referendum. And it's really interesting to see the way the media report these things, because they're part of the problem. The way it was reported was it was a 10% margin. 55% voted no, right, for independence, 45% yes.
Well, didn't they hide some of the floss and the yes votes in the bin?
There was some of that too.
Yeah.
There was some of that too. I don't think that was a major thing, but there was some of that going on.
I just say, I think there's a lot of suspicion that that referendum was actually rigged somewhere, because I've seen videos where there was a massive yes party on a no table.
I've seen those videos too. Right, so I think there was some of that stuff going on. Yeah, but I don't think it was the overall picture. I said that I have a lot of friends in Scotland, and the debate was really intense, and within families as well, really intense. But think of the way the media reported it, it was a huge win, wasn't it? 55%, 45%. Just, people are not numerate. Think of what happened. It was 2 million votes, yes, right, and 1.65 million no. Right, that's what it was. Well, if you look at it in absolute terms, that's 350,000 votes different. Okay? What if only half, which is 175,000 switched, it would have been a draw. 175,000 out of 3.5 million. That's close. That's really close. The percentages don't tell the story. Okay? And you're aware what's happened since the referendum, it's got more heated in Scotland. Much more heated. Which is why Labour are now in trouble. Right? The forecast they won't win hardly any seats. Why the SNP are riding high. I've been invited to Scotland in 2 weeks' time to talk about this thing, how this fits in with their programme. It's causing mayhem amongst politicians. Right, so I won't go into the details of why it's causing mayhem. You've heard this thing about, you can't have the Scots voting for the English when the English can't vote for the Scots, and all of this stuff. It's a bloody nightmare.
Nicola, what's
her
name, Nicola?
Sturgeon.
She doesn't want to do any deals with Conservatives.
No, but it's the fact that England doesn't have any MPs.
Yeah.
Pure English.
Yeah.
Right? So you have Scots responsible now for all of the affairs that they can tax, they're responsible for health and education and university and so on and so forth. But they can also vote on all English matters.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the here's what's in the charter. We're introducing the notion of confederation, which is never ever talked about, even though we live in a confederal system of Europe. Europe is a confederation of independent nation states. What it is. And a confederation says, I'm an independent nation, France is, Germany is, you are, but we agree on the issues of, bom, 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 whatever they are, we will cooperate and we will submit money, we will submit funding, budgets, and we'll have an organisation look after defence or whatever it is, whatever the issue is. But we remain independent sovereign nations. Right. This is confederation. Okay, there's very few in the world, one or two at the most. The problem with Europe, why there's so much debate and heat and no light, is because people want to make it federal. Federal is like the States. The United States is federal. It's one nation, one federal government. It devolves powers to states, okay? But the real power in the land is the federal government, okay? That's a federal system. Europe is confederal, of independent nation states. The UK today is hardly any of those things. It is a mess. With Scottish Parliament having some powers, Welsh Parliament having different powers, Northern Ireland, law unto itself, and England having nothing. So the proposal for a new democracy is that England becomes a nation state again, as it was in 1707. Now, the language is really interesting. We are not a united kingdom. There were only two kingdoms, Scotland and England. Wales was never a country. Wales never had a king, kingdom. It was annexed. Ireland never had a kingdom. It was colonised. Right? We're not a united kingdom. We're not even Great Britain. It doesn't mean very much. Okay? The Irish would never accept Britain anyway. Nobody even quite knows what the history of Britons were. Okay? But there is, you can say that England was a nation state in 1707. And there's a really interesting historical book, I'm going to forget its title. There's a Cambridge history guy. I think it's called The English and the History. He makes a claim that England has claimed to be the very first nation state in the world. That's the claim. It's a 1,000-page, I've got it, I haven't read it. It's a 1,000-page book, right? So, imagine if England were declared a nation state again, Scotland wants to go independent, it's going to bust a gut to go independent. And you said to the Welsh, you become a nation state. Irish is a special case, which we'll come to. But imagine you then say, we're not going to break up the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom doesn't make sense anyway. We're going to confederate. Call it the islands, Confederate Islands. Okay? England has a parliament, it's a nation state, has its own tax, its own laws, its own thing. Scotland has its own thing, it's a different culture, so on. Wales has its own thing. And here's a hope. During the Scottish referendum, there was a debate started in Northern Ireland that was never reported in the press. The Northern Irish, there's very close connections between Northern Ireland and Scotland. They're very, very close. Northern Irish said, what's going to happen if Scotland goes independent? What are we part of anymore? The debate started, should we reunite with Southern Ireland? That was never reported. And apparently that debate goes on today. Right? If Scotland goes independent, what are we, the Irish, going to do? My answer is, unite. I mean, it's such a mess anyway. Right? There are lots of institutions now that cross Ireland and Northern Ireland. There's hardly any boundaries anymore. Lots of common institutions. I think they have one rugby team, don't they? Something like that. Anyway, England declares itself a nation, invites Scotland, Wales, and Ireland to confederate, reforming the UK, but in a coherent, democratic way. We're not breaking up anything. And we, by taking confederation, say to Europe, we don't want a federal Europe, we don't want to integrate more with Europe. We stay as well, we confederate with you. It's a perfectly rational, we have a confederation within a confederation. We have nation states that determine their thing based on their culture. Okay. So this is written down in the manifesto, in the charter. Okay, so this is there are lots of things that are drawn together here. I just wanted to point that one thing out because it's so important to the current political debate. Okay, I've talked enough. right. So why don't you? So there's three things. So let's just it's been enough to go pass them around to get this up to. Can you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so I'm not going to. So what I, so I'm not going to go through these because I've told you the story, right? I would just say the purposes of these documents. So the demo cafe is meant to be a leaflet. It's going to be a leaflet. I need some design input. The idea is to take the people, set up a demo cafe. And the way it's structured is, remember there's two things going on. A party that's going to win a general election at some point, and a movement. So the first bit is about, you're the people, you can do this, you can change things. We, the party, can help. Right? This is the relationship. The people can do things, we, a party, can help. Other way around, the way it normally is. Okay? But the purpose of this is to get people thinking about, let's do something regularly, once a week, meet in the pub, something. Okay. The manifesto I've not looked at party manifesto, but it describes in more detail what I've talked about this evening. Okay. And this is a very difficult document. I make no bones about this. This is not easy to read. It's taken a year to write. I've changed it every month based on feedback and meeting and so on. It is dense. It is very, very dense. It contains at least 60 principles for democracy. At least. Right. So it takes a long time to get into this. So, you've got three documents. An easy one, hey, go to the pub, right? A political one, right? And oh, shit, what am I going to do with this? Okay? So I'm very happy to take questions and whatever. That's basically what I have to say.
Right, obviously I'm on the side. But at the same time, I've got quite a lot of holes.
Snaps. Yes.
And I'm trying to help you by.
Good. I like it, yes. Yeah. Okay.
This idea of use the what we've got, the parliament, yeah. Et cetera, to become
yeah.
A political party, to get MPs, yeah. And then
change
when yeah. You're there and start changing yeah. The law, et cetera.
Yeah.
This is the oldest idea.
Yeah, nothing to do with the world.
Hills.
Yeah, nothing to do.
In my case, I was a shop steward.
Oh, and, right. Okay.
This was the absolute line that you hear time and time again by shop stewards that were usually in the Communist Party, and they were Stalinists.
Yeah.
And they would become union bureaucrats as soon as they got the chance.
Absolutely. And I come from a trade union family as well.
So
I've seen it.
If you come forward with this line, it will trigger a lot of
baggage,
negative baggage. Emotions.
Right. Thank you. That's interesting. I hadn't remembered that, but I do know that.
Right.
But by the way, just to answer that, why independence is important. So you stand, you stand, you stand, you stand. They're not associated through a union organisation or money. Everybody's independent. That's the difference.
How would the monetary system work within a like?
How does what, sorry?
How would the monetary system work within a
like? This, no private money creation.
No.
Only public money creation.
So you'd have a bank of...
Could we just listen to...
Yeah, sorry.
We'll come to you afterwards. Is that all right?
Yeah.
You didn't really
To imagine that it's possible to start a new party, every party has to start. So
yeah.
It must be possible because every party starts from nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you could start from nothing.
15 years ago,
okay.
Well.
But to imagine that the powers that be are going to stand by while you increase your number of MPs and look as if you could possibly take power when you stand for democracy, they're going to change the rules. The £500 will be £5,000 or £500,000 or something. They will change the rules. That's just a snap that I've got to try and point out. How to avoid corruption, right? Now, I was in a party called the Militants.
I remember, yes.
And we were incorruptible, we were like Webster. We were incorruptible. you will remember someone called Dave Ellis.
Yeah.
And there was three MPs.
Yeah.
We got three MPs.
Yeah.
So they were entries as well, a bit like these Stalinists I'm talking about. But they were incorruptible because they said, we're going to only take the wages of the unskilled worker, which would have been about £20,000 a year at the time in Coventry,
right?
In Dave Nurse's case. And so the £50,000 that was paid to be an MP, he gave £30,000 back to the constituents, back to the Labour Party, and only kept £20,000 for himself. Now, of course, he got kicked out of Labour Party by Neil Kinnock.
Yeah.
Not because he was corrupt, but because he wasn't corrupt.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, the Militant has gone by the board, kicked out the Labour Party and went by the board. It's become a very small party now that's in alliances with other parties.
Yeah.
But not one of their comrades, no matter how skillful they were, no matter how good orators they were, not one of them crossed the line and became a Labour Party bureaucrat or a bureaucrat in any other party.
Right.
So they were incorruptible. And they believed in the Communist Manifesto, which was a good document, not a bad document, but a good document with lots of good ideas. And they advocated that the wages should be low and that the difference between highest earners and the lowest earners should only be something like 1 in 3 or something.
Yep.
And they believed in the rotation of positions.
Yep.
Like the chairman of the Communist Central Committee could only be chairman for 1 year, etc., etc., but they would rotate all their positions so that nobody could get used to being in a position of power. So that's an idea that you might want to take on. The idea that Parliament's sovereign has become redundant, that idea. There are at least two layers of power over Parliament. The Queen, for a start, every politician, in order to be an MP, you've got to sign your allegiance to the Queen, along with the MI6, etc., etc. And so the Queen is an extremely powerful figure. But also above them, you've got things like the Trilateral Commission, and you've got your Council on Foreign Affairs,
Bilderbergs,
etc., etc. These people are immensely rich and powerful, and they pull all the strings and they own the politicians. And underneath them, you've got all these different think tanks that are telling the politicians and giving them their policies. For instance, a little village in Lincolnshire where people are pressing buttons mindlessly and killing people in Pakistan and Afghanistan because we've got drones. Was that ever debated in Parliament?
No.
I don't think so. No. It just happens.
Yeah. All right, that's a very, very, that's a very simple point. Okay. The one about changing the rules, making £5,000 instead of £500, like that. I would expect behaviour like that. I would. Right? And you're absolutely right. If at some point they thought there was a danger that this might happen, every trick under the sun would be pulled, and there would be a huge backlash. There's no question about it. You're absolutely right. And I am completely aware of that. And in meetings like this, and as the thing grows, that's why it's so important that it's not just a party. It's so important. The Demo Cafe has got to go alongside, right? And it's so important the party is not an organisation, even like the Militant. It's so important that MPs are independent and stay independent. And I think your point about perhaps not taking the salary, that's a good point, I should take that on board. That could be a nice thing. So you say, that, what do they get, 70 grand at the moment? Let's take 30 or something. Whatever the average is, 25,000. Okay. That's an interesting. The detail matters. There's no question about it, the detail matters. So that's an interesting point. The powers, Parliament being sovereign is an interesting one. I'm aware of lots of bodies, right, that are not visible. Right? Privy Council, the Queen's Council, stuff like this. Not obvious to me at all what would happen. It's not at all obvious that if you won majority, 326, and Parliament said, we're going to abolish the House of Lords, it is not obvious what would happen. There's quite a respectable body of lawyers, would you believe, in this country, that are very into the rule of law. The rule of law is much underrated. And a huge body of lawyers may not go along if they're starting some shenanigans like this. I wouldn't like to predict what would happen. But there was a very interesting... somebody else pointed this problem out, that Parliament is not necessarily sovereign, there's all these other power blocks. And it was... I'm going to forget the guy's name now. Chris Mullin. Left-wing MP? Yeah, I think he's still around. He wrote a book, it's now a film, called A Very British Coup. Has anybody seen it?
Yeah.
Right?
One bloke who gets some killed or some they started bumping off and was it a railway station in your
Well it was there were lots of things going on.
Yeah.
But what was interesting about this on the sovereignty of Parliament point,
yeah.
It was about this left wing prime minister who got power and won a general election and won another general election and was doing things like giving up the nuclear weapons and doing all the left wing agenda, which was Chris Mullin. Right, agenda. And the film, and it's very interesting, it's like a thriller. The film ends, you don't know where it's going to end, in seeing this Prime Minister, this real left wing Prime Minister, preparing for the general election, he's going to be a landslide. Okay? And that's it, he's won. Right? And then the screen goes blank, goes dead. And what's going on? And all you hear, is a voiceover from a news broadcast in America. And it says, the constitutional crisis in Great Britain is being discussed at Buckingham Palace. The implication is that even though this guy was going to win a landslide and do anything, that then the powers that you just referred to, right, come into play and he was just quietly wiped from the scene.
Wasn't he wiped out? I don't know, level crossing on his automatic crossing.
Yes.
They rigged it. So
yes, they rigged it.
He couldn't. I do remember that ending.
Yeah.
He got rid of it and took him out.
So, but it's a moot point, right? Nobody really knows how power works in this country. Nobody really knows. Okay? My contention is by not having a party. I make this. We actually use the word phantom party. I use that expression because we don't have such committees. I'm not going to raise money. I don't have sponsors. Forget it. All I'm doing is writing stuff and shop on the website. That's it. People, you stand, you stand, you stand. Right? Nothing binds them together. Nothing. This is very, very different. So whilst it's a party to win the system, there's nothing that holds them together. Demo cafes, getting people active, right? It's going to take, I'm not saying this is going to be easy or done overnight, but both these things together are necessary. Okay? Now, there's a lot I could talk about on the organisational side of this because occasionally when you're doing things like this, you get dragged into organisational mode. Right. And you've got to stop yourself doing it. And we're, as a sub-project, we've got a project running about how you get self-organising systems going. How do you get a business, or a social enterprise, or a charity, or something, a local authority, like the one I'm quoting in Froome, self-organising. No leader, no board, no directors, no hierarchy, self-organising. And nobody knows how to do that. Nobody knows how to do that properly. And have an effective, efficient organisation that delivers something. So we have that running as a project, as a side, to address some of these issues. So that's just a take. But I like the point about stopping the power thing by not letting them have 70 grand salaries and £100,000 expenses. That's brilliant. Yeah, oh, yes. That's an interesting point.
Yeah. Did you have a question?
Yeah, the monetary system.
Monetary system.
Yeah.
Right, the monetary system is really interesting. Most people don't know how money is created. There are two ways in which money is created. It used to, historically, it was the monarch or something, you know, having a monopoly of gold, and gold went into the system, that was it. And there was, used to charge money, what do they call it? I can't remember. Anyway, but as the economy developed, banks create money. Every time a bank loans you £1,000, people think that they're taking it out of deposits. No, they're not.
Tapped onto the screen.
Pardon?
Tapped onto the screen.
No, yeah, but it's not. Yeah. People think. Yeah. If you take a credit union,
yeah.
Right? A credit union has to take deposits and it can only lend from deposits. Mm-hmm. Peer-to-peer lending has to work like that. A bank doesn't work like that. Yeah. Bank lends you £1,000, it creates it.
Out of nothing.
Out of nothing. Right? It creates a debt and charges you. Yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the first thing we'll do is stop the private creation of money. Yeah. Only the state can create money.
Yeah.
Okay?
That includes the printing of money.
And, yes. Yeah. Well, I'm going to come to that. Okay? This is the creation of money through debt. You can create money through printing it. A state can do that. European Union can do that, and the UK can do that. But a country in the European Union can't, in the EU, in Europe, which is why Greece has got so many problems. Yeah. Right? Greece is not allowed to create money. Right? Only the European Central Bank can create money. Yeah. We wisely stayed out of Europe. Right? I hate to say it, but whoever did it at the time was right. The politician was a Tory, I think. No, it's Tony Blair. Here's the thing that is in the Charter and people are not aware of. At the moment, when the Bank of England created quantitative easing, created money, it prints it. It then buys. What it calls assets from the banks with this money. Right, so the bank. So all the debts on the loans that the banks have made, right, the Bank of England will buy with this money. Right? So the banks have now got freedom, right, to create even more money. Mm-hmm. What they should do when you have quantitative easing, when you create money not through debt, you just print it, that should go into the economy as gift capital, not debt. And this is something that's never, ever been used anywhere. A few economists in this country promote it. And it only works if that money is spent on infrastructure investments. It doesn't go in for consumption, you know, and so on, because then you get the inflation.
It's a wonderful propaganda weapon, because if we printed our own money, our government,
yeah.
Even if it's a bad government, if it printed its own money,
yeah.
Instead of workers paying taxation, and half that money going to pay interest charges, the money would go to the government, who could then put the money into infrastructure and creating jobs.
Yeah.
So it's such an easy and obvious propaganda, yet not one MP, as far as I know, is putting forward nationalisation of the central bank.
No. There was one debate in November, the MPs debated creation of money, but they didn't include quantitative easing. They only were talking about the banks. Mm. Right? The state can create money, and as long as it spends the money on investment, not expenditure. It doesn't give money just to spend, and it spends it on, you know, whatever, revenue, but invests in infrastructure. Education is an investment. Health is not. Preventative health is an investment, not curative health. There's a very big distinction between what is investment and what is expenditure. What is capital and what is income and expenditure? Huge, huge difference. And we don't acknowledge that. It's all one, it's all debt. The world is submerged in debt. It's not necessary. It's just not necessary. There's an economist at Kingston University called Steve King, who promotes this. Anybody know
the Kaiser? He was on the Kaiser.
Yeah,
Kaiser. I was going to say, he's the Kaiser report. I haven't seen it yet.
He was on there, I think, today.
And I've seen him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right. There's an economist at Cass University called Prem Sekar. There's three or four economists, but they're isolated.
Yeah.
Isn't that the American presidents who put forward doing away with the Federal Reserve, which is their central bank, and printing the government printing the money? They've all been killed. They've all been assassinated. Three or four of them.
Yeah.
The Federal Reserve, as I understand it, is a private institution, it's not government.
So is the Bank of England.
It's been foreclosed. The Federal Reserve has been foreclosed by the World Bank.
Sorry?
Board of Governors of the World Bank have foreclosed on the Federal Reserve, I believe.
Have they?
According to Karen Hughes.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
She foreclosed. The notorial protest is complete. It's perfected.
Right.
So they've dishonoured their claim to any gold that they think that they have, that they claim to have.
I mean, you know, and the other thing about the whole money system is, you know, we've had a long, human race has a long history of debt forgiveness, of jubilee. A long, long history. The Persian Empire had debt forgiveness every 7 years.
Yeah.
Right? This is not unusual. But the thing is, there's too much debt. It's not necessary. You can create gift capital. Now, I don't want to go into a slight...
I want to know how the money comes back to the... Yeah, the money has to circulate, doesn't it?
You spend it into the money,
how do you take it back?
Let's say the government says, right, we've got a problem with railways, right? We are beaching a couple of things to pieces, we're going to put them back together again, okay? It's going to cost $10 billion, right? So it prints the money, it's an investment, right? The money then goes to... whoever's going to do it, companies, you know, engineering companies, whatever, workers are employed, normal business, right? The money is spent into the economy, but what you get out of it, right, is capital, i.e. the infrastructure. That is very different from saying, I'm going to waste the money on, just spend it. You could spend it on, let's say an increase in pensions for pensioners. That's not investment. And curative health is not investment, even though you need it. Preventative health would be. Say the government said, we're going to have £2 billion and we're going to have a program of preventative health to do with diet and exercise and stuff like this, so people become healthy because it's there in the community. That's an investment because you're reducing costs in the future. Now, people don't know this. When the health service was set up in 1948, Nairn Bevan, his original plan was 50% of the budget would be preventative and 50% curative.
Yeah.
And he was not allowed to do it because of the vested interests then of the pharmaceutical companies, the doctors as they were, the medical profession generally, he was stuck. Now imagine what a different country would be today if in whatever that is, 60, 70 years, we'd had a country where preventative health was part of the culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be a different world?
Pharmaceutical companies would be, we'd start going bust, wouldn't it? Because all the answers, really, for health is in Mother Nature.
But the thing about all of this stuff, and it's in the Charter, nothing is new.
Yeah, but can I just ask you, I keep reading, that the dollar is about to go, is going to go, and that the whole system is going to the world is going to collapse. I've heard this I've heard this on Max Kaiser as well, amongst lots of other people, and they're trying to bring in one world government, one world army, and one world currency.
Who's they?
Well, the Illuminati.
Well, there are lots of conspiracy. There are some powers to be, like the Bilderberg Conference, for example. Various powers to be.
Yeah.
But I think they're greatly overrated myself.
Well, Max Kaiser talks about the New World Order a lot.
I know he does.
A lot of people talk about the New World Order. But, and it seems to me, it seems to be going that way, America seemed to be not doing well at all. I listen to the X-22 report every day, and it seems that they're trying to create war so they can blame other countries for the collapse of America.
Yeah, but here's the thing, look, the world is now, what, 5 billion people?
Yeah.
Right? Look at the mess the Middle East is. Do you think anybody's in control of that?
That's exactly what they're after. They say a world of communism from chaos. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 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 yeah by food and...
Listen, I'm aware of all these things.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm sure there's some truth and some action in these things, and the Bilderberg group and so on and so forth,
yeah.
And the Davos and all of that stuff and these networks. Yes, but, right? You can get too obsessed with conspiracy movements. The world... See, I don't think the world is all bad, right? You know, we can send... look what we do in health, the things that we do. And there's a project I've come across recently, because I'm interested in some technologies, where somebody's raised £1 million on crowdfunding, a researcher, to regenerate health cells. So when you have a heart attack, you regrow the muscles, regenerate the muscles, as opposed to putting stents in and, of course, removing bypass. Okay? Now, that's a good news story, right? There are lots of good news stories around, right? And I'm not for one for saying the world's a bloody mess. It is, but there's stuff going on that's really good and really interesting, okay? The thing is, the balance is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's not enough of the good stuff.
Yeah.
There's too much of the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? And all I'm suggesting is you've got to make people aware of this, and to say you can change it.
Yes.
That's our message. You, not us, not me a party, you can change it.
Yeah, it's right, yeah, we can change things, but I think what they're planning is for the new...
I'm sure there are some lunatics around.
Can I interrupt? So
yeah.
Can I contribute a little bit as well? Because I think that, like, there is all that stuff going on, there's no doubt about it in my mind, I'm absolutely convinced, but... I think that I'm here because I feel like we're trying to talk about a solution, and that ultimately, that's what we have to. If we do that, then we're going to defeat the new world.
Exactly.
No problem, because they're idiots. I mean, they're crazy.
Yeah.
They're delusional. They can do all this stuff.
Well,
it's not going to happen. Human beings are not going
to
put up with it.
Yeah. Creative solutions is nobody talks about solutions. A lot of people talk about problems. I'm interested in solutions.
Solutions, yeah.
And I've proposed a solution.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to.
What are you going to do about bringing back common law? Because at the moment we're under administrative law, and you say Parliament is sovereign. In fact, it isn't. The original Parliament was subject to common law. You could only do it within the bounds of common law. That's what the monarchs swore to uphold. And in years gone by, there was a Lord High Steward whose job it was to see that any statutes passed were in compliance with common law. But of course, he was done away with, like all the other, you know,
constitutional,
you know, the other well-being. So I'd like to know what you're going to do about that.
Well, it's a very interesting question, because there's a book been written about, if I should know the points, The Rule of Law. There's a book called The Rule of Law, and I've forgotten the guy's name who's written it. And it's this business of the elective dictatorship. If a parliament is really sovereign, you don't really have the rule of law, right? Because you can have an elective dictatorship and they can do anything. Where's the law in this? Okay.
Well, they're acting treasonously at the moment, though.
Well, but the thing about law is, there's several types of law. There's some people believe in natural law, right? There's the common law, and you call it administrative law, and statute law made by statute.
Admiralty law.
Yeah.
Contract law.
Well, things made by statute, one way or another. My view of this is that it comes back to this notion of self-organising. So whilst I said Parliament is sovereign, it is for the purposes of this exercise of using the system to become the system, to change it. It's the changing of it that matters. Okay? So that you have a written constitution, but it's not static, it's alive, and the people change it. And the law is like, evolves with that. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, in a new world, nothing is sovereign. Nothing. In nature, look at nature, nothing is sovereign. We are so used to thinking of who's the boss, what's the boss, what's the law, what's this. We are so used to thinking. Nature doesn't work like that. Nothing is sovereign in nature. In your body, your heart is not sovereign, your brain is not sovereign. Nothing in your body is in charge of anything else. It works as a self-organizing system. The Holy Grail is to have a political economy and a social work that has self-organizing, and you don't have these questions arising. Now, I'm not saying that's easy, I'm not saying that's the root, but I'm saying that whenever the human race has a problem, it always turns to nature. It's very interesting. Biomimicry is incredibly important. The wingtips of aircraft have been designed by looking at birds. Velcro has become by looking at insects. My view is, you look at nature, it's self-organising. We can end up with a self-organising system. I don't say it's easy, I'm just saying we have to get rid of the notion of hierarchy and power.
Well, whoever has the power has the guns, and
well,
yeah.
We have to get rid of this.
Yeah, well, that's in nature, and I can see one snag with the organisation you propose. It would be so easy to infiltrate, and we know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that these people will infiltrate any organisation that has any success.
Yeah.
And you're opening the doors, in a way, to this infiltration.
Well,
self-organised organisation with no hierarchy and no programme.
Don't be mistaken. Self-organising does not mean chaos. You evolve a programme and structure, right? We are so used to thinking of the world is, you've got to have a boss, you've got to have hierarchy, you've got to have power, you've got to have intelligence, structure. It's not true. It's just not true. We just don't know how to do it.
Would you say you're different from anarchists?
That's completely different from anarchists.
You say no leaders.
Anarchist means no rule.
It means no hierarchy.
No hierarchy.
Yes.
No rule. Archy, the archy is from kratia, power, right? No power.
Right.
Okay. Nature's like that. But it's not. Anarchist has the connotation of chaos, but it's not. Nature is not chaotic. It's very organised and very structured.
Yes.
Very.
Yeah, I agree. Right. Absolutely. That's the organic structures is the future as far as I'm concerned. Organic.
We can learn from nature.
You can't learn from anarchists because they've been tied.
No, you can't learn from anarchists.
200 years.
Hello. There's a long way to go, right? We are stuck in so many ruts at the moment, really stuck, right? But we can get out of it.
There's a site, I don't know if you're aware of it, called thereset.org.
Yes, and I reset.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought there's some interesting ideas.
Yeah, there are quite a lot of groups around looking at the constitution issue, right? So Reset is one, I'm going to forget who they are now, Runnymede Gazette. Another, and there's a group down in Totnes in Devon, Reimagine is another. There's about a dozen groups, but they work as very narrow campaigns. They don't take a holistic big view, and they don't say how you're going to do it. What I suggest tonight is the only way you can break this is to become the system and avoid the dangers of being corrupted. Critical, right? And I'm aware of that, which is why there are two things to avoid being corrupted. A, independent MPs, and B, demo cafes, active citizens. I don't know the other way.
Profit would be quite a big thing that will corrupt people, and people will seek to have profit, and as that builds up the top, that will naturally corrupt people.
In the charter, it doesn't say it, but it actually overturns capitalism. Okay? We go to a trust economy. Now, people don't know that there is such a thing as an alternative to capitalism that is just as effective as products and services we need, the paint, the pictures, the chairs, the tables, and the spaceships. You don't need capitalism for that. There is something called trust economy, trust businesses. And it comes with gift capital, I mentioned earlier on. So there's no shareholders, no profit motives. Now, people say, well, hang on. I was chair of one. It's called Scott Barlow Commonwealth. It's £200 million turnover. There's no owners. There's no shareholders. They make a profit, but the profit is distributed back into the business or to the community.
A cooperative.
Not a cooperative. A cooperative is capitalist. Be clear about this, right? Because there's ownership. Profit goes to... If it's a producer's co-op, to the workers. If it's a consumer co-op, to the consumers. And so on, okay? I'm talking about something utterly different. No owners. None. No shareholders. No distributions of dividend. And it's in the charter, and it says we move to a trust economy. Profit motive disappears. Legally. There are about 100 trust businesses in this country. People don't know them. And this is not... The one I was chair of was set up in 1951, Scott Barlow Commonwealth. In its constitution, it says the purpose of... Oh, the business, by the way, it makes plastics and resins. Right? It sells pipes, water pipes to the Middle East. Okay? It's a normal business. In its constitution... It says, the purpose of this business is to find a third way between capitalism and communism. That's in its charter.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you call yourself a trust party? Isn't that a good slogan? Two meanings.
Well, I think about it.
It's simple, it's what
it is. It's trust. Trust is a big issue. There's not enough trust. There's no trust in society.
I think you do need a snappy name.
Although
the 2015 constitution list is
it's not snappy.
A bit of a mouthful, and after 2015 might just sound dated with respect
to... Oh, I just changed it, I just dropped 2015. Oh. No problem. It was just to make a start, right? And registering with the Electoral Commission, it's just like registering a company, it's not a big deal. Yeah. Names and language are really important, and I don't have the right language yet. I know that.
But I know UKIP, for example, who knows this, you know, it's Kingdom in Pennsylvania. It's a good snappy name, whatever you think of it.
Yeah.
It's a snappy name.
It is a snappy name.
Maybe an acronym would be better.
It might be.
Get it into a little
term. I mean, there's an email on here. If anybody's going to just email me.
Can I just ask a quick question? It's coming up to 10 past 9. I know you want it to go at 9:15. Are you aware of the qualified majority voting that's coming into the EU? It's being phased in.
In the Parliament?
Yeah, and it's going to come into
effect. It's coming up on this book, because I'm going to be talking about this next week. Qualified majority voting is like a block system. It's going to come in on the 1st of April 2017. And what it means is that we will no longer have a veto to be able to get out of Europe unless we get permission from four of the other member states of European Union.
You wouldn't be allowed to leave?
You wouldn't be allowed to get out.
So we've got
a referendum before April Fool's Day 2017. Yeah. If you have it after that, you'd need permission of every other member state in the Union, and even if you did get permission, they would set the goalposts. So they say, well, you can phase yourself out in 10 years, and you'll pay compensation to every country.
See, this is right.
This
is my point, that Europe is becoming federal.
Well, that's always been the plan.
I wasn't aware.
2017,
of
no.
Yeah.
So we've got two years.
Gerald
Trapp back in it.
UKIP MP for one of the, I think he's in London, he's got a lot of stuff about it actually, because when it comes in, it's going to affect 43 areas of policy. And one of those areas of policy is leaving the EU. It's going to affect everything, culture, the whole lot.
I tell you what my hope is, because the UK is such a mess, I think, I've been up to Scotland once and promoted this confederal idea, and people really hit on it. Because they don't really want to be independent and live and be accused of breaking up the UK. This is the emotive thing. And I'm saying it's not necessary. Mm. Right? It's just not necessary. And if you could get a confederal solution to the UK, you could then start promoting confederalism in Europe.
Yeah.
Right? A federal Europe is a nightmare. Mm. I mean, we can't run a small country left. 28 countries. This is stupid. Look what Greece, what a mess Greece is.
It seems like we're running out of time. There's not much time if they bring that in.
Well, you never run. Hey, it's politics.
Yeah.
Right? In the end, nothing's immutable. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Nothing. Mm-hmm. This is why active citizenship is so important. Tell you the thing that bothers me? 30 million people are not going to vote this election. 30 million. That's not a democracy. I'm going to want to make a move.
Yes. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Give a great clap.
The information where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.